is no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
From your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
Some kind of Dr. Octopus. Don't tell me about it. So you'd be to tell me that this fucking octopus is better than me because you made it all the way through medical school?
Yeah, technically.
No. I'm a Spider-Man.
You're drunk.
I'm not a Spider-Boy. I'm not a Spider-Child. I'm a full-grown ass. I got pubic hair all the way up to my chest or all the way up to my beard there. I'm fucking Spider-Ass Man.
That's Spider-Ass Man.
And I don't need to go to school.
No, you definitely don't. All right, welcome to the last podcast on the left. Everyone, I am Ben Kissel. That's Marcus Parks.
Hey. Spending all my time swinging around in ropes and shitting out of my goddamn wrist. People telling me, like, I'm just some little boy from Queens, but I'll tell you something different. I chased a man-sized lizard yesterday for 3 hours.
Yeah.
My feet are fucking killing me. These spider boots ain't got no arch support.
So Mary Jane broke up with you, drunk Spider-Man?
Mary Jane, more like Mary Junk.
I agree with that.
Scary junk.
All right, so this is our first episode back since we went to the UK. And my God, we have to thank everybody up top. What an unbelievable experience. The food in Scotland's just the best.
It has a film to it. What I will say I have learned about the UK, first of all, thank you for opening my race horizons.
Well, it was only white people.
Well, there's so many patches to the white people quilt.
It's a very white quilt.
It was one quilt. It's what happens when white people fuck only other kinds of white people for thousands of years. They looked weird.
People do
they
get
did not
slanted.
Look weird.
People
they
did
not.
Honestly, people who do not come to our show do slow. It does look like their skeleton is all growing into one bone.
I thought they were beautiful people.
But I have learned that there's up to 5 different accents in the UK in one go. You've got the Cockney, the ARI. You've got the London ale. Hi, hello. Hi, hello. Good day to you. Then you got Manchester with the top here. There's, oh, hello. Welcome to Manchester. Someone explain it to me.
Uh-huh.
Yorkshire is low. It's any help getting up any lower? Any help getting in? It's kind of a Yorkshire type thing. It's kind of mixed with the Cockney that I did. But a Yorkshire is more like it's like a Scottish mixed with a British. And then you got Queen, which is and then you got her boyfriend Philip, which is.
The doctors told me earlier today that my penis is officially a slug.
So it's really 6 accents then.
6 accents. I didn't count.
Yes, you gotta count the fake king, I guess. Whatever the hell he is. Is he the king?
All he does is eat the queen's pussy when the corgis are asleep.
It's amazing. We had a great time making fun of Prince Charles, and they were a wonderful audience, and they took a good ribbon.
They really did. No, I absolutely love the entire United Kingdom. Every single show that we did was fantastic, and we had a great time with the fans afterwards. You guys are so fucking cool. Thank you so much for coming out, and we can't wait to come back.
All right. Well, speaking of travel, today's episode. See that? What am I on? I'm on a...
Segue.
That's correct. Today's episode, it's going to be amazing. It's all about time travelers.
Chrononauts, you ignorant fuck. It's face.
Time travelers are what everybody calls them. Chrononauts sounds like the new cuisine that everyone's going crazy for. It's the cronut mixed with some bizarre, almond or something.
Well, the time travelers we're going to cover today.
Chrononauts.
The Chrononauts, Henry, I'm going to go ahead and agree with you on this one. Yes, they are Chrononauts.
It's a terrible name.
No, it's an official name, so.
All right, fine. Today's episode, we'll redo it then. Today's episode, speaking of time travel, what am I on? Segue. It's about Chrononauts.
Thank you.
We're going to talk about 3 of them today. One of them is a Chrononaut that is living here in the present. The other 2 are from the future. But the guy that is here and now, the one that you can speak to, that you can call on the telephone.
And he is desperate for your call.
Yeah, please do call him.
His name is Andrew Basiago.
I don't know. It's another one example of in conspiracy world where everybody says a name 3 different ways. Mm-hmm. He goes, it's spelled as Basiago. It's spelled like a mixture of barf and Asiago, the cheese. But it is he says it Basiago.
Basiago.
And he goes by Andy. It's Andy Basiago.
It sounds like he's batting third for the Yankees, but he forgot his baseball and he's using a salami.
It sounds like a kid I knew in first grade that ended up beating his wife and is now in jail.
I'm sure he is.
Anthony Amoretti, that's his name.
Oh, is that right? Well, Andy Basciago is a lawyer from Washington State who claims to have been a part of a secret government teleportation time travel program known as Project Pegasus, which ran from 1968 until 1972.
One thing we want to talk about, is that this whole episode is about the phenomenon of collected stories on the internet of people who've traveled through time. Now, the idea is that we don't know if time travel exists or not, but these three men do, and the answer is yes.
Oh, okay, good.
We actually, in reality, do not know if time travel works at all. We don't know if it's a part of a super secret government program that we're not aware of yet. We don't even know if it's physically possible, because technically, isn't time travel only supposed to be possible if you travel at the speed of light, and something with mass cannot do that?
Well, technically, if you... the thing is about time travel, at least the theory about time travel, is that you can travel through time into the future, because if you go faster than the speed of light, then time around you will slow down. So you can travel faster into the future than actual time occurs. So you can travel to the future, but traveling to the past is something different altogether, which requires some sort of tear in the time-space continuum.
Now, quite a sweet question. Is this just hungover man bus stop science?
I think it is, but I did just come up with a great plot for a movie. It's about dwarf tossing, and the world's strongest man tosses the world's smallest dwarf, and he goes faster than the speed of light. We got dwarf to the future.
I think that technically is a folklore tale from like the Socratic times, like old back in days when we used to before recorded history.
Yes, but if someone could create the movie poster for dwarf to the future, that would be amazing.
Dwarf to the future.
Well, actually, Pin, your theory here isn't that far off. Project Pegasus and its early Project Pegasus, which is an offshoot of the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, a.k.a. DARPA, was an effort on the part of the U.S. defense technical community to weaponize time travel on behalf of the United States government.
Now, what he postulates, Andy postulates, is the fact that Tesla's writings were absconded from a New York hotel that he lived in when he died. The U.S. government went, took all his writings and took the science that came from his journals, and they put into a program, Project Pegasus, which worked alongside Project Manhattan, at Los Alamos base. While the atomic bomb was being built, they were working on time travel in another room with better nerds.
So did they like purposely just give them ominous titles? Was somebody like, why don't we call it Project A1? And they're like, let's go with something creepier.
I want something with wings and a horse. I like the idea of, like, you know how a pigeon will sometimes shit on you in the park? What if it's like 6 pounds of shit?
Pegasus?
Thank you, Officer Writery.
Now, in its early stages, the goal of Project Pegasus was to study the effects of time travel and teleportation on children, specifically. Now, there are many different reasons why children were used. The first was that they were more able to adapt to, quote, the strains of moving between past, present, and the future. See, their minds were kind of a blank slate, a tabula rasa, if you
Thank
will.
Thank you. Also, the words tabula rasa are written on every single bit of Project Pegasus information you can find on the internet. It's like children or tabula rasa, where it was like the guy who wrote all of this stuff in one go was like, I'm going to fit this magic phrase in everything, and every single time I do, my girlfriend gives me a hand.
Yeah, it sounds like Ellen DeGeneres' girlfriend.
Well, the things about kids, the whole tabula rasa thing, their minds are more open. They're not really colored by experiences and prejudices. The blank mind of a child is more apt to see things that an adult may overlook.
It's like Andy made a really weird example in an interview I was watching with him. He's like, an adult will go back into the past and see a man with a gun and a holster in it and become immediately afraid and say, oh no, it's a man with a gun. But if a child goes into the past and sees a man with a holster and a gun in it, then the child will think, maybe it is some form of cowboy. Or maybe it is a safe police officer. Or what a fun little bubble-blowing wand that man has in the holster on his belt. I must investigate.
Sounds a heck of a guy.
Yeah, actually, that's a fairly good point.
Is it a good point? I'm not sure what the point is.
The idea is that children have no fear. They're like, you can just throw them into a time travel fucking tunnel, and they'll just pop out on the other side, no questions asked.
I think kids are full of fear.
If you teach a child everything's a game, I mean, look at Albert Fish's career.
Sure.
If you can convince
he's a
child,
painter.
Are you about to compare Project Pegasus to Buck Buck? How many hands up?
Yeah. It technically is an interdimensional version of Buck Buck How Many Hands Up.
All right.
Well, in addition to all that, adults actually went insane after all the time travel jumps. So it was thought that if you... Okay, kind of like Buck Buck, How Many Hands Up? If you get a kid, if you get a kid used to it from an early age, then by the time they got to full-fledged NASA chrononaut age, they'd be able to handle it.
But also, according to Anda Basiago, he said he's like, not that we did not go through much mental and physical trauma, because we did. I certainly did. I have a problem just tying my own shoes. I have a problem going into an elevator, pretty certain the doors are going to open up and I'm gonna see a dinosaur in a hallway. And at this point, my life is a bit of anxiety, which is why I'm on television now here telling everybody about the time travel project I was involved in.
So it sounds like it really ruined you.
Yeah, you could say that. That's why I'm wearing Velcro shoes to this day. Another reason why they chose children is because when they opened up the time tunnels, the kids had to fit through the time travels. Mm-hmm. The time tunnels could only be so big. And so in order to jump through, kids had to run and jump through the tunnels and form like a cannonball and shoot out the other side. And that's the problem, is they just couldn't find enough jockeys, because jockeys want to live their lives.
I don't know if that's necessarily true. I think jockeys are extremely depressed.
Is that true?
I think so. They're alcoholics.
If there are jockeys that listen to the show,
let us know how you're doing.
Get off the horse for a second.
Right.
And send an email.
Well, they should have just sent Rhea Perlman or Ruth Bader Ginsburg. There's so many small people out there.
Yeah, there's
a lot
of
time. You didn't have to use children.
Well, you don't have to use children, but that's the thing, is that those are all adults.
Right.
And they needed tabula rasas because the adults all go insane. But that part of Project Pegasus, that's only the early stages. The ultimate goal of Project Pegasus was to use chrononauts to send sensitive military secrets to the future and to provide government intelligence to the governments in the past so they could use it for their future.
Oh. See, Annie Basiago's father worked for what is called LAMDA, which was the Los Alamos Military Defense Association, some bullshit, some fake thing. His father was working at best friends with Donald Rumsfeld, who was also a part of the time-traveling research project.
Oh, yeah.
Right? When they started talking about this, the reason why kids are being used, what Andy's father explained to him is to being like, you know when fathers and sons go through the jungle? Ugh. They take their sons and they put them up on their shoulders, excited to show the world as much as possible, as thoroughly as possible.
Just 2 feet higher?
I believe that you, my son, should be traveling in the future in this highly experimental, crazy physics experiment in the middle of the desert. Because I believe in you. So that's what he felt. He felt the belief in his father believed in him enough. And they just believed in these kids enough.
So this is just Neon Genesis Evangelion?
You're acting like this is fake, Mark.
So LAMDA, it's an organization of grown men who use children. Are you sure it's not NAMBLA?
No. They certainly didn't just mix those letters around.
Oh, okay. No, seems a little bit nefarious.
Los Alamos Military Defense Association?
You no longer have to remember it. You can delete it from your mind
Thank
now.
Thank you.
While there are many different methods tried during Project Pegasus, including a, quote,
plasma confinement chamber
and a, quote, jump room, the most promising method involved technology recovered from the apartment of Nikola Tesla after he died in 1943, as Henry said earlier. Using, quote,
radiant energy,
the machine was able to form a, quote,
shimmering curtain
between two, quote, elliptical booms. When the curtain was raised, the subjects would enter a, quote,
vortal tunnel
that would take them wherever they needed to go.
And it was child size. It was fun sized.
Elliptical vortex?
No. Elliptical boom.
You're not listening.
Bortle tunnel.
It's very, very simple. It's very, very simple.
So
the universe is filled with thick, goopy energy called radiant energy. And now, this is not necessarily dark matter, because that's what they asked Andy Basiago in this interview I was on. And the way he responded was being like, yes, I was trained in time travel. Yes, I was chosen to be trained in the program. Yes, I have many hours logged time traveling. Am I a time travel scientist? No, I am not.
I see.
So he could not explain it. So there's radiant energy everywhere, and they can harness it for it's worth flick of flu goops, right?
Right.
Using these elliptical booms.
Elliptical boom.
What they do is they zap a fucking energy, zip, like an energy vagina. It pops up into these Vortal tunnels, right? And the Vortal tunnels right. are holes in the shimmering curtain is the reality as you see it is this hologram, right? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You rip open a vagina into it, and then that's the Vortal tunnel. But there's radiant energy between the two Vortal tunnels that open up, right? Which is just thick goopy shit. Which right. is why the kids had to run across the room, jump into cannonball position in uh-huh. order to get the inertia, because they didn't shoot them through. Not like in Time Cop.
No.
They literally, they would have to jump through themselves. Yeah. In order okay. for them to power themselves, it's very organic. It's very DIY. Yeah.
So the kids are going through the goop, and when they come out, are they covered in it?
No.
No.
So they're goop free.
The goop is time.
I see. Interesting. And when do you clock in and clock out?
The only goop that time covers you in is wrinkles, and when your pubic hair goes gray.
Yes. That is true.
Well, you know, you say, okay, yeah, there's mm-hmm. children involved here. They're jumping into the time travel goop all on their own. There's going to be some incidents. And in fact, there yeah. was. The most disturbing incident was when a child arrived before his legs did.
That's a problem with time.
Okay, so then he was sort of a Lieutenant Dan type.
Yeah.
But he was like a legend. He was like a legend. They call him Shoeless Dave. Right. After the old baseball player. Yeah, Shoeless Joe. Yeah, he didn't need shoes.
Yeah, how much money is he saving every year?
But ironically, he would collect many, many expensive fancy shoes.
Oh, but just stare at them and he could never wear them?
Well, you would just dwarf them.
Oh, I see.
Well, yeah, that whole story was told by this guy. Did you learn anything about this guy, Henry? This guy, Alfred Weber? He claims to be a specialist in exopolitics. Now, you're a bit of an exopolitical mind, aren't you?
Yeah, I guess so.
What the hell is exopolitics?
Exopolitics is the dealings with other intergalactic politics. Yeah. It's dealing with other aliens.
What deal are you making right now?
How many fat women we're going to sell the reptilians? We have to sell conditioner to the Pleiadians.
Why?
Because of their beautiful silken flaxen, like so blonde it's silver hair.
So you're selling our conditioners and our fat women?
Have to.
It's
a part of the arrangement. That Eisenhower made. Fucking Kissel.
I don't remember when
together.
Eisenhower made the fat woman
the
deal with the Pleiadians.
Agreement, you fucking dickhead.
1953.
When did he mention fat women? That's all I want to know.
It's in a clause.
It's in a clause?
Nobody reads the miscellaneous options of the contract, and you should.
Well, it didn't seem like they took a lot of them. There seems to be a few of them left when I think they're beautiful and wonderful.
Well, that physical model of teleportation is but one of two methods. The other method is known as chronovision, which works as more of a holographic view of past events and is used to gather intelligence.
It's like the holodeck, but with a hat on.
Yeah. Yeah. The quote, chronovisors were invented by a Vatican priest who claimed to have used them to visit both the Last Supper and Christ's crucifixion twice.
He just like pops into the Last Supper and he's expecting to see the table and stuff, and it's just like 12 dudes just blowing each other.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's just...
Yeah, I'm in heaven. I'm in heaven.
Yeah, see, these chronovisors were passed on to the U.S. government by Rome in exchange for God knows what.
Well, I will say...
Well, we know what they wanted.
Exactly, 1,000 boys.
Yes.
And, man, they just go through those boys quick when they show up to arena up that negotiation in the next contract. And they're like, we need 5 million boys.
Well, the thing is, guys, they just keep on getting older. Is there a way to freeze their age?
No. But it's also very interesting is because the chronovisors could only be used by children.
Well, they worked best with children because the Vatican priest, he was able to use it, but they're only able to see. The children, they can actually step into the chronovisions. Mm. Adults can't do that because adults just weigh too much.
We don't even let kids drive cars. We barely let them go to the convenience store alone. I think this is far too much responsibility for a child.
Time travel pioneers.
Yeah, because children were light enough to exist within the chronovision, and so children were used.
Also, Andy Basciago said this other explanation about chronovisors, the reason why adults can't use them, is
an adult will sit with the chrono visor on as a bit of discomfort on the skull of the adult, and he cannot stay still. Also, you can't have any errant sneezes or coughs when you're using the chrono visors, because it will jump you out of the timeline.
That's all kids do is cough and sneeze.
Yeah. Children do not have the sort of habits that adults have that would cause them to sneeze and cough more often.
What is he talking? I worked at a daycare at a YMCA. All the kids do. That's how they communicate. They talk like, you know, random villagers in a 1400 they speak tribal. All they do is cough and sneeze, and then they communicate with each other.
It's true.
Now, as far as where our man Andrew Bosciego went as a child, many of his time travel trips took him to the 1800s, specifically to Civil War days. Most notably, he was present at Gettysburg on the day Lincoln gave the Gettysburg Address, notable because he claims to have photographic evidence.
He just has a picture.
Well, he has a picture. He says that Project Pegasus scientists dressed him as a Union bugle boy when he went back to the Gettysburg Address, but for some reason weren't able to get him Union bugle boy shoes in his own size.
Excuse me, do you have women's size shoes? I have very, very, very thin feet. I'm big at the toes, very small at the heel. Do you have a sort of a slip-on or a ballerina slip-on or a tiny princess heel?
We have a large.
I guess I'm your bugle boy.
Oh my God, we didn't give him a bugle, we gave him a keytar. The one boy with a keytar. Abraham Lincoln, little known fact, he wouldn't carry a knife because he was suicidal and thought he would kill himself.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And he had a size 14 shoe, which is the same as mine.
Interesting. It seems like he had a lot of homosexual guilt.
Perhaps.
Well, as far as those oversized shoes go, there is, in fact, a picture of a boy standing in a field at Gettysburg wearing oversized shoes, but the face is blurry and impossible to identify.
That is definitely me. That is definitely me. You could tell by the... As you can see, I am a pear-shaped man. Look at that child. He's got childbearing hips, which is not what a boy should have, and that is me.
I would like if the camera zoomed up and the guy had a blurry face and be like, that is you.
Wow.
Interesting.
Now, Bosciego was also present at the assassination of President Lincoln on a number of occasions, although he never actually witnessed the president getting shot in the head. He did, however, see himself twice.
I also missed the majority of the play because I spent quite a long time online getting popcorn.
But you knew the popcorn line was going to be long. This is your second time there. Why'd you go back? The
type of popcorn that was made in the 1800s in America, it simply cannot be reproduced. It's something about the non-GMO nature of the corn, or maybe just sort of the fiery nature of the oil, the heat they could get it to. Just got it such a good savory.
So you missed one of the most important historical events in U.S. history for popcorn.
There were hot dogs as well.
Okay, well then it's worth it.
Today's sponsor for the Last Podcast on the Left is Casper Mattresses. Casper is a sleep brand that created one perfect mattress sold directly to consumers, eliminating commission-driven inflated prices. An in-house team of engineers spent thousands of hours developing the Casper. And you know what? I got one. Henry's got one. Ben took his home, and he absolutely loves it. We all use Casper mattresses. We all love it. Mattresses can cost well over $1,500. But Casper mattresses cost $500 for a twin-sized mattress, $600 for a twin XL, $750 for a full, $850 for a queen, and $950 for a king. Buying a Casper mattress is completely risk-free. Casper offers free delivery and free returns with a 100-night home trial. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you absolutely everything. You can get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting www.casper.com/LEFT and using the offer code LEFT. Terms and conditions apply. Now, playing into theories, we'll get into further with our man John Titter.
Titor.
I think Titor, we're going with Titor.
Yeah. Bosciego said that on multiple trips that he took to the assassination, things were just a little bit different each time.
One time I went and Abraham Lincoln was dressed fully as a Dalmatian.
Really?
It was astounding. I can't believe it. Lifelike Dalmatian costume, and he was being chased by several firemen.
Do you think it was a sexual role play thing? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, Bashiego believes that the reason why things were just a little bit different each time was because he wasn't being sent directly to our own past, but rather the past of alternate realities on adjacent timelines, meaning he traveled over to the next Membraner 3 every time he went back to avoid mussing up our timeline.
But it also seems like the time travel, using the Vorpal tunnels, using this Tesla energy, that it was an inexact science.
Yeah.
So now they're figuring it out, because Donald Rumsfeld had a whole, like, when in 1971, Andy went to see Donald Rumsfeld talk about this shit when he was 8 to talk about, like, some bullshit, to go talk about the use of time travel for war and teleportation for war time activities. The idea is you can use it to send people into the middle of the battle. Like, you could just send extra soldiers, teleport them into the middle of, right, of where everybody was fighting. And so at the time, though, they were just kind of throwing people into tunnels and seeing where they popped out.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, wouldn't have Rumsfeld, like, handled the war in Iraq a lot better if they knew what was going to happen in the future?
Alternate timelines.
Alternate timelines.
So in, like, one timeline, Saddam doesn't have a mustache.
Yes, and in one, he's a lady. Ooh. And in one, he actually is the guy that played him in the movies in
Hot Shots.
Yes, in Hot Shots.
Saddamtha.
Yeah, it's infinite timelines. It could be in one timeline. The only difference is that his mustache has one less hair.
Oh,
yeah, infinite timelines.
Many timelines.
They use this alternate reality timeline a lot to explain away all of the holes in these stories.
It's essentially their get out of jail free card.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah. But Bassiago's time travel training culminated in his now infamous trip to Mars with other child and teenage Chrononauts.
Okay, guys, for this next little section of this time travel episode, Chrononaut episode, I'm sorry to myself.
Yeah, you should apologize.
Be open.
Be real open.
Yeah.
Now, along with Bassiago on his first trip to Mars was a young boy from Hawaii who called himself Barry Soetero.
No, is that the guy that did, like, the big fat guy that did the little, like, thing of over the rainbow with when he was doing the little ukulele thing, and he's real fat and his ukulele
was
just
Hawaiian. That was a Hawaiian man. Hmm.
Absolutely not. You may know Chrononaut Barry a little bit better by his birth name. Barack Hussein Obama, the current president of the United States.
I feel that if he knew he was going to be president, if he was in fact a Chrononaut, he would have just stayed in the past.
I think so too. It's not very fun.
He did know he was president because Bassiago, one of his jobs as a Chrononaut, was to travel back in time to talk to presidents George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama to inform them that they would one day be president.
And then Bassiago was also visited by a future version of himself. This is not it's a future version of himself to be told them that he will, in fact, between the years 2016 and 2028, elected either president or vice president, depending on the breaks.
So now Bassiago, so he is going to be a president.
Yes.
So we're gonna have a president Bassiago, and we'll have, like, free Bagel Tuesdays.
Yep.
Okay. Either 2020, 2024, or 2028, he's either gonna be president or vice president. In fact, if you are indeed a registered voter here in the United States, and you're not only unhappy with the two major party candidates, but also our third party candidate, sorry, Gary Johnson, in the tank, Ben Kissel.
In the tank.
You can write in Andrew Bassiago's name for president, as he is in the middle of his independent campaign as we speak.
And so what's his ground game looking like? Do we know?
It is very independent, to the point where he said he could not afford to actually run for the presidency himself. So what he wants you to do, is going to invite people to do, is to, you go onto his website, andy2016.com,
and you go on
there. What he wants you to do is to write in his name for president, take a picture of it.
You can't do that legally.
No, listen.
You
take a picture, take it out, print it out, put it on a postcard. Mail it to his campaign offices so that he can tabulate his own votes to prove that the black box voting systems are rigged.
Well, they are rigged. I do agree with him on
but
that.
But he's going to crack it open.
It's kind of voter fraud there.
Yeah, it's going to be Andy 2016 that's going to crack this whole voter fraud scheme wide open. And you know what? The reason why he is uniquely qualified to run for president?
Because he's seen the future.
Answer me this. Hillary Clinton traveled to the year 2054?
Has she?
Maybe.
No,
that's actually
no,
true.
The answer's no.
Technically,
Barack Obama did that. Maybe that is the right answer there. But that's the thing is that if these things, because Andy, he's gone to 2054, so he's uniquely qualified to face the problems of the future. But
what are
they? Playing devil's advocate here, if these things are in fact still problems in 2054, then it's safe to say that Basiago
didn't do his job,
unless those problems are a part of an alternate timeline, in which case we can change our own timeline to prevent said problems.
So what's Basiago running on?
Oh.
Does he have a platform?
He has a 100 proposal agenda, which can be found on Andy2016.com. These include, but are not limited to, 1. Disclosing secret advanced technologies, including cancer cures.
2. Quantum transparency, in which the president declassifies all the technologies in America's time travel arsenal.
3. Okay. Presidential honesty, in which the living presidents admit they were given foreknowledge of their destinies.
4. Cosmic truth, in which the president launches a new international geophysical year to resolve cosmic mysteries.
5. Sasquatch protection.
I like that. We need that. As a Sasquatch, I prefer that over not Sasquatch protection.
In which Sasquatch is listed under the provisions of the Endangered Species Act.
6. Flat tax rate.
That's good, too.
7. Moon transparency.
Okay, what aren't we being transparent about regarding the moon?
Answering or not answering the questions and privies and investigations that are going on involving quantum technology, moon transparency, and the presidential honesty.
I mean, it just...
No, listen. Moon transparency, that's answering questions the American people have about the moon landing. What happened? Did we go there? Mm-hmm. What's up there? What's inside the moon? Is it hollow?
It's not hollow.
And of course, Mars transparency.
Which brings us back to President Goddamn Obama.
Well... Time traveling, the luckiest boy in the world, Barack Obama.
It seems like it would age him quite a bit and things like that.
What an exciting life. He spent time in Africa, in Chicago.
Yeah, that's
dangerous.
And
then he went to Mars?
Strange.
See, working with Obama's mother, Ann Dunham, who is also a CIA agent who is carrying out missions in Kenya and Indonesia, where she presumably met and fell in love with the president's father.
Presumably.
The group of teenage Crononauts embarked on a mission to Mars.
God, that's so much fun. It's so cute.
A whole bunch of teenage Crononauts.
Yeah, so they're living like, you know, a young Matt Damon or something.
I was a teenage Crononaut.
They are Power Rangers.
Yeah. What the hell did they do on Mars?
Well,
good question.
Whoa.
I mean, I'm just, this guy, it's a tough platform to run on.
He's got 100 points, Kissel.
I do think he should be in the debates.
Now, the Mars base exists, as far as I can figure out, in a time loop using Tesla's quantum access time travel teleportation technology, which is how these people are able to go from Earth to Mars through a vortal tunnel of some kind.
And you wouldn't believe what Andy had to say, because he's like, I was on a plane yesterday from Sacramento down to New Mexico, and would you not believe it took up to 2.5 hours? And I was just beside myself when the pilot came on and said 2 hours in that we are just now over Albuquerque. And I said, I went to Mars and back in over 3 to 7 minutes using a vortal tunnel.
Well, then do it again. Then get off the damn plane.
Well, that's what it's... That's platform number 2, quantum transparency, in which the president declassifies all the technologies in America's time travel arsenal.
Let him fix our problems. Let him be president.
I just feel like he has a lot of power. He's been to Mars. Why isn't he more successful?
My big thing is that he could wear better fitting shirts.
Probably.
He could start there with his fashion sense and then move forward.
Yeah, you let the world know who you feel that you are, and you do that via clothing.
Exactly. And one purpose of that trip was to get Basiago familiar with the Mars base, because the CIA knew that Basiago would one day be the one to reveal to the world that Mars was inhabited by humans, and they wanted to make sure. He didn't sound like he didn't know what he was talking about. See? What he told everyone about. See?
Elon Musk can't even get a rocket 30 feet off the ground.
Yeah, because he's not smart enough.
He's a genius.
And guess what? I don't trust any man whose last name is synonymous with butt smell.
Oh, that's not what a Musk smell is. Musk is armpit.
Yeah, Musk is totally armpit.
It's ass, too. You could shoot leave Musk all over.
No woman has ever smelled a man's ass and be like, musky.
Yeah, no, I've been told I have a very fetching Musk.
Marcus, God, come on.
You just smell like roadkill.
keep it moving, kids.
Now, the other notable eyewitness to the Mars colony was a man named Michael Relfe, who, along with his wife Stephanie, described in their two-volume book, The Mars Records, the types of individuals present at the colony.
Now, Michael Relfe was not a chrononaut, was not trained by them. He was just friends with Andy. And Andy told him all these stories in 2004 because Andy didn't start quote-unquote, investigating his memories into the year 2000 when his mom got diagnosed with cancer, right? And so he didn't start really getting into this. He just told this guy. And now Michael just appears in all his interviews with him, just hanging out to the side, like going like Andy would say a bunch of stuff about like vortal tunnels and shimmering energies and all this stuff. And Michael's just like, yep.
Yep. So he just does like what Steve Bannon or Mike Roger Stone does with Trump. He just stands in the corner, just like follow the script. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So is he his manager?
No clue. He's just a man in a polo shirt and high jeans.
Oh no. He was actually a member of the permanent staff on Mars.
Oh.
So he was on Mars. Yes.
Yeah, he was on Mars. He was a member of the permanent staff.
So Mars was just like calling all dumpy fucks, come to our planet.
Who else wants to go commit suicide on a planet made of rocks?
I know somebody.
Well,
I do.
Well, these people, the permanent staff, they're not actually committing suicide. What they do is they have 20-year shifts. They spend 20 years on Mars doing whatever.
God knows Mars, 69 and all over town.
There's a lot of stuff to be done. They have to put in streetlights. They have to build movie theaters.
They have to build a street.
Water fountains. There's all sorts of stuff. Amusement parks. Halloween Horror Nights needs a section up there.
So you want to create like a Pleasantville.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, what they would do after those 20 years, they would then be age reversed 20 years. And then shot backwards through time to their space-time origin point. And then once back on Earth, they would have their memories blocked and sometimes have missions implanted into their mind subconsciously, which they must carry out whether they want to or not. You know, creating, not only say you're a janitor on Mars for 20 years, you're sent back. Now all of a sudden you're a Manchurian kid.
So you're Reggie Jackson from Naked Gun, and you've got to kill the queen.
But you see, no story this complicated would be untrue.
Exactly.
It is.
Truth is stranger than fiction.
Stranger than fiction.
Stranger Things, a good television show.
I'm not even playing
Strange
along.
Strange Ways, a prison in Manchester.
Yes, which we performed right next to you, by the way. We performed at the prison right by where Bronson was held. Exciting.
Yeah, Strange Brew, it's a song by the Yardbirds.
It's also a great comedy from the great up north.
It wasn't the Yardbirds, it was Cream.
Cream.
Cream of the Blood, one of the great things
semen.
That Pastor David Manning likes to say about semen.
Strange Brew is a very funny movie.
Truth is stranger than fiction.
All right, go back to it.
Now, the other type of person at the base is only there temporarily. Those are mostly politicians and other government figures. They travel to and from Mars via a jump gate in San Diego and return with a time debt equal to their visit, as sending them back to their point of origin is probably more expensive and, as we learned with a kid who came back before his legs, more dangerous. Now,
What? Can you imagine leaving beautiful San Diego for Mars?
Yeah.
Mars, I bet, is beautiful.
I don't know. Yeah, there's nothing on Mars. It's freezing cold.
Total Recall.
Yeah, from Total Recall, yeah.
Tongue goes everywhere. Okay, keep your mask on.
The eyes get really bulgy, but you know, everything that was around him was very beautiful. Well, despite these memory blocks, the reason why Michael Relfe remembers all of his Mars time was because he was able to use his special brand of kinesiology, which is, you know, muscle and movement stuff. He had a lot of patience, and more importantly, he had the love of a good woman, and he was able to remove the blocks.
Hero.
Wow.
And that's what it takes.
Isn't that
it's
something?
It's the love of a good woman. I believe that. I think good love can fix a lot of stuff. I remember when I first got with Natalie, I remembered all about my Chrononaut training. But
yeah,
then
where were you? Did you go to Mars?
No, I know. They sent me to fucking Idaho.
They sent you to Idaho.
Now I was on the short distance, the teleportation rigs.
And what did they send you on?
Just Chicago to Idaho.
It was a plan. And how long did it take?
Less than a second. Huh. And I'm just in your field. Zip. All of a sudden, I'm playing for the Cubs.
What was your record for the Cubs?
0-417.
Not very good, huh?
Well, Michael and Stephanie Relfe are currently on demand to use their special kinesiological methods to both prevent and unblock memories of government and alien abductions, most notably by changing the quantum matrix in your home by asking for the help of angels.
Truth is stranger than fiction.
What the fuck? Angels? When the hell did they come into play?
Oh, they've always been
there.
So
angels are real too?
They've always been there, Ben.
You ever seen angels? Angels in the outfield.
Yes, I saw angels in the outfield. They helped the Cubs. I believe it was the Cubs.
No, it was the Angels.
It was the Angels.
Yeah, you're thinking of Rookie of the Year.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of the Cleveland Indians when the Native Americans came. The ghosts of the Native Americans came and helped the Cleveland Indians.
He's thinking of the movie Space Bears when the aliens came down and helped the Chicago Bears.
Yes, I did like that one. William the Refrigerator Perry. Think about that. He looked like a bear.
And you know what, everybody? I got to say, Andy Basiago 2016. Let's get this guy in office.
Don't take a picture of your ballot. You'll get arrested.
Do it. I say do it, and please, let's all just vote. Let's just vote for Andy Basiago. Let's give him something.
You know, Henry,
he's going to commit suicide, and he's going to be president either way.
I mentioned it on Top Hat, Henry. If you promise to vote, I will be thrilled if you vote for Andy Basiago.
Oh, I will.
Okay.
I'll do it. Yeah. I'll vote for Andy Basiago.
Just so long as you go in and write his name down, we'll be
write
happy.
It down.
I will do
Basiago. Is that correct, or is it two Gs?
Iago, just one G.
Combination of Barf and Asiago.
Just remember that. Or you just write Barf plus Asiago, they'll figure it out.
Or just vote Barf.
Vote Barf. I'm going to vouch
John
I'm
Candy's character in Spaceballs.
I want to actually posit a serious question. So this is obviously some form of disinformation or horseshit, right? So he comes out and he makes a bunch of lies, and I do believe that there are gigantic black ops programs that the government's hiding from us. We have the gigantic black budget. The technology that the U.S. military has is 50 years at least plus we have seen. If there are people that work for the military and that are willing to speak anonymously and want to say something that you've seen while in operation with the U.S. government, I'd love to know what is the actual truth of how much technology that they have that is past what we have. Besides just sort of, because I know that they use hologram technology and they use visors. They use like Oculus Rift type stuff in order to use like a kind of a 3D weird, like they have a browser thing.
Iron Man computers.
They have
They're already using computers that are robots that are able to compute whether to kill or not on their own.
Well, they're almost there. They're not quite
there. Oh, they're
yet.
There.
I trust them.
I was talking to my friend Mike Baker about it.
I trust
the CIA.
Oh.
Yeah.
But I just wonder, because these are ridiculous stories, I just know that there's stuff couched in all of this horseshit that the government loves to do. There's obviously, there was the Manhattan Project, and they did a lot of secret shit, and there were obviously many, 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 many other programs that were just like the Manhattan Project that didn't get busted out because they didn't become like gigantic deals like creating the atomic bomb.
All right, so we will be doing a listener pasta coming up in the near future. Mm-hmm. So if you are in the military, please call in with any stories you have. You know what? Just tell us about the toilets. Do they self-flush? That would also be interesting.
Are they warming toilets?
Ooh, that would be good. Yes, that sounds wonderful. So we'll be doing that very soon here in the future.
Definitely. And if you want to send us something, cavecomedyradio@gmail.com is the email address to send it to.
Yes.
Get it quick. And remember, keep it short. Our next time traveler is actually here from the future.
Ooh.
Yeah, his name is Andrew Carlson. Andrew Carlson took a page out of the Biff Tanner book of time travel and came back from the year 2256 to play the stock market.
That's really smart.
Super smart.
Kind of smart.
Now, with an initial investment of $800, Andrew was able to amass a portfolio that was valued at over $350 million in just 2 weeks, capitalizing on unexpected business developments.
Wow. Huh.
Now,
on only $800.
Isn't that something?
Only $800. Now, either he had quite a bit of inside information,
Hmm.
or he was, in fact, a time traveler.
And truth, you know, is stranger than fiction.
Is he a chrononaut or is he a time traveler?
He's a time traveler.
So I was right when I said time traveler.
Time travelers are civilians that somehow got access to the technology, but the people that really know what they were doing are chrononauts.
Think about it this way. The guy that flies Elon Musk's SpaceX big thing.
He's a pilot.
But Neil Armstrong, what is he? Astronaut.
Or fraud.
What?
It's possible.
I will punch you in his stead. I believe they went to the moon.
I do believe they went to the moon.
Yeah, they definitely went to the moon.
Yeah, sure.
Well, what about John Glenn? You want to fucking put a bee in John Glenn's butt?
No, man. I love John Glenn. He's got two first names. I always let people with two first names.
Now, this guy, Andrew Carlson, arrested for insider trading almost immediately. But when the SEC hauled him in, Carlson spilled the time travel beans and over the course of 4 hours explained step by step his money-making scheme. Using knowledge that was, quote, common knowledge in the future, Carlson had planned to travel over 250 years in the past, play the stock market in a reasonable way with a little bit of patience, but he got a little carried away.
It's fucking Office Space.
A little
space.
Too fat.
It's Office Space.
But okay. With time travel. It's a great concept for a show.
Okay, but why wouldn't he just go back 50 years from his time?
250 years.
Because what's 300? I know, but I'm saying why didn't he just go back 50 years to his time in the year 2020 or whatever, 220 or whatever the hell the year is. I mean, I don't even understand because $300 million by his standard with inflation would be like 50 cents by that time.
No. You don't know, man. You don't know.
Truth is stranger than fiction.
How many times do I have to say
it? Right.
Truth is stranger than fiction. Now, exchange for leniency, Carlson offered up both the whereabouts of Osama bin Laden, who had not been found at this time
in the desert.
No. What if he literally just went? He was like, he's right here. And like lifted a trash can. And Osama bin Laden's crouching behind this trash can. But he literally had to let him go because there's a whole Scooby Doo like clause in American legal things that if a mystery's too easy to solve, then they have to let the criminal go.
And this guy, Carlson, he also offered them a cure for AIDS, which he apparently just had rolling around in his head. But he was keeping it a secret until they let him to his time craft. He said, if you let me go to my time craft, I'll give you the cure for AIDS. I'll tell you where Osama bin Laden is, but I'm not going to tell you where the time craft is. I'm not going to tell you how it works because I'm afraid that the technology would fall into the wrong hands.
It's inside my ass.
Yeah, just make sure, like, gotta go to my, then he's just like, vroom, 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 vroom. I think we.
Just reaches up inside his own ass and pulls a cord out like it's starting a lawnmower. Like, vroom, vroom,
vroom, vroom. What?
Ding dong, ding dong. And all the weird time, the clocks are going everywhere.
Sergeant Dickhead, did you let him get away?
Yeah, every time. I always let him get away. I'm the fun cop.
You are the fun cop.
Well, the funny thing is, no one has actually been able to find any evidence of Andrew Carlson before 2002. And when he was bailed out in 2003, he disappeared without a trace. Now, this story was actually reported on Yahoo News, which is... Yahoo News is a news site. It's news.
It's vague.
It's news. It's news. It's definitely... news.
It's called Yahoo News.
It's got news in it.
It's got news in it. Yahoo News reports on a lot of news stuff.
They're not desperate for clicks because Google completely took them off the internet.
No way. But they technically got the story from the Weekly World News.
And the thing is that we know about the WWN, sometimes truth.
If you don't.
Stranger.
No.
It's stranger than fiction.
Oh, my God.
But the Weekly World News is.
It's not real. Well, you talk about space ghosts?
But like
or ghost ships?
No, listen. Like the National Enquirer, there are places where people dump real information into these fake newspapers because that's how you release it. The people from the National Enquirer talk about the dirt that they have on politicians.
All the time.
They see everything.
Yeah. They busted John Edwards.
They busted John Edwards. They busted Ted Cruz. I think all that stuff is true.
Yeah.
They busted a lot of people.
Because what they do is, unlike the New York Times and the Washington Post, which they talk about, the reason why they get high-quality reporters is because they pay them great money.
Yeah. Today's other sponsor for Last Podcast on the Left is AdamandEve.com. Go to AdamandEve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs, plus a free mystery gift. And to top it all off, they'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. AdamandEve.com. Use the code LEFT at checkout. That's LEFT at AdamandEve.com. Now, our last time traveler today is a bit of a legend in paranormal circles. John Titor.
Titor.
We gotta go Titor.
I'm fine with it. I will, of course, call him John Titor because I think it's wonderful. But I want to put it out there before we get the fucking enunciation police up our assholes is that I know that it's John Titor.
No, it's T-I-T-O-R. Titor.
That's Titor.
Yeah, that's absolutely Titor. Although he was not yet going by this name, sent two faxes to Coast to Coast AM on July 29th, 1998, which told both of his time travel from the year 2034 and of the upcoming Y2K disaster. The fax read in part,
"Let me explain, Mr. Bell. I sent a fax with this opening on July 29th, 1998. As I said then, I am a time traveler. I have been on this world line since April of this year, and I plan to leave soon. Typically, time travelers do not purposely affect the world lines they visit. However, this mission is unusually long, and I have grown attached to some of the people I have met here, including the wonderful rock ska band Sugar Ray."
For Y2K never ended up happening. I would love to just, like, Art Bell just comes into the office. Any interesting faxes today? Nah. Same old, same shit. Time traveler.
Now, Titor didn't emerge again until the year 2000, when someone who would later use the same military insignia as John Titor made a post on the Time Travel Institute forums using the name Time Travel _0, making similar claims to the Coast to Coast faxes. On January 27th, 2001, at 12:45 p.m., the name John Titor was used for the first time when a man claiming to be him posted on the Coast to Coast AM message board saying,
"Greetings, I am John Titor, a time traveler from the year 2036. I am on my way home after getting an IBM 5100 computer system from the year 1975. My quote-unquote time machine is a stationary mass temporal displacement unit manufactured by General Electric. The unit is powered by two, count them two, top spin dual positive singularities that produce a standard offset Tipler sinusoid. I will be happy to post pictures of the unit and also my travels with the band Sugar Ray."
So it's a 1975 computer. That's his time.
No, that's just what he went back in time to get.
He went to go back in time.
He leave it there?
No, he came and got it. So, well, like, see, here's the thing. That what happened is that he was an American soldier based in Tampa, Florida from the year 2036. He was specifically chosen for the mission because his grandfather was directly involved in the assembly and programming of the IBM 5100, which was needed to debug computers in the year 2036.
Yeah, you fucking idiot.
So they needed the IBM computer, which is only used for Pong.
Yeah.
And but that's going to debug computers in 2036.
Now, truth is stranger than fiction, you fucking long moron.
Well, actually, the IBM 5100, that's one of the kernels of truth in this whole thing, because the IBM 5100 actually did have a hidden function in which it was able to emulate other computer platforms and things that are highly technological often use very old computer systems.
So
the space shuttles are still using computer systems from the fucking 60s, and like the Mars.
Yeah, because the government's not funding the space program anymore.
Well, they just, I mean,
they want to have nice computers.
No. They like it to be hard there.
I've heard that.
But that does actually give the whole story like a tiny bit of legitimacy.
Well, this story was created by a very good nerd.
Yeah, a great nerd. Yes. Like a very good nerd. And possibly a great nerd soldier named John Titor from the year 2036.
He can be a nerd and a soldier. I love him. But you know what you could do too? The pictures of the time traveling unit were really fucking cool. Like, it was
very cool.
Very organic looking. It looked like a bunch of batteries all in the back of it. It wasn't a DeLorean. It was a
1967 Corvette.
That's pretty sweet.
Cool as shit.
Yeah, and it was like all of, if you look up John Titor fucking time machine, that shit, it's awesome looking.
So his car looked just like the failed truck bomb from a couple years ago in Times Square?
Very similar.
A lot cooler than that.
Okay.
Well, that's the thing about this whole case, is that people actually took it very seriously for years. But that, I know all this kind of sounds dumb now. The internet, there's a great Guardian article about John Titor, and they pointed out something like very fucking true, is that back in the year 2000, the internet was a much, much different place than it is now. Back in the year 2000, you never, ever gave your real name out to anyone on the internet. It was a weird, mostly text-based platform, still pretty new to most people and extremely mysterious.
He just never expected the internet to get better.
No, absolutely not. No, the internet was the type of place where weird shit happened. So over the next couple of years, Titter would answer hundreds of questions on the Coast to Coast message boards about both the future and himself. He claimed to be an American soldier from the year 2036 based in Tampa, Florida. And even though his original mission was to 1975, he stopped off in the late 90s for, quote, personal reasons.
And I think it's got a lot to do with him traveling around with the fucking ska rock band Sugar Ray.
Yeah, it could be.
He just showed up and he was just like, this band is it is my personal identity. I got my conch shell necklace. I've got my frosted tips. I know that I was born in the year 2002, but I belong in the year 1998.
Sugar Ray was a hell of a band.
Yeah, he stuck around for a few years. He said that he routinely noticed little things about our present that were different from his past, such as news events happening at the wrong times and football games being won by the wrong team.
Why isn't Sugar Ray playing stadiums? In 2036, Sugar Ray has rewritten the national anthem. I cannot believe I live in a world where Sugar Ray is not known as the best band of the face of the planet next to Oasis, and I need to make sure it happens here. And he's just outselling Sugar Ray t-shirts and buttons.
Now, Titter estimated that the divergence between our world line and his world line was somewhere between 1% and 2%. Now, going back to Basiago's claim, Titter says he is actually on a different timeline than his own, parallel to his. That's why the, quote, grandfather paradox, in which a person does something in his past to prevent his birth, doesn't apply to John Titter. If he were to, say, kill his grandfather at some point, he would be killing a different John Titter's grandfather, and so it wouldn't really matter to him in the long run.
Well, you just
he just would have killed an old man.
You just scare your dad before he comes.
God, and he shoots at all of your mom's face.
Yeah, and then you can't be born.
Interesting.
That's what I'd do.
Wait, that's what you'd do?
That's what you want to do?
That's what you want to
do? No, I don't want
to
do it.
You want to go back in time. So you're saying that you want to go back in time to your moment of conception, the moment of your father's ejaculate into your mother's vagina, kick in the door and go boo? And
I'd say 2 out of 3 your sons are going to be gay. Do you want to risk it?
I think what will happen
like,
is...
Oh, better not.
If you will fucking... You will, first of all, will mistime it. No, you will show up at the beginning of them making love and have to see the slow working of your father's hands all over your mother's body.
They were quick. They're Christians. They did it with their eyes closed. Fast.
Weird.
I don't know.
Now, as far as what John Titter's future is like, Titter says that it is much more rural, people are a lot more religious, don't really go to church, community is emphasized, and most people in Central Florida live in tree houses.
All right. So it turns into Fern Gully.
Yeah, and as far as fashion goes, they wear a lot of hats.
No shit. I guess the sun in Florida is still there, huh? Just hats.
Hats. Lot of hats. And you know what? Look around now. There's a lot of people wearing hats.
Honestly, though, in Europe, specifically, many different types of hats.
People have been wearing hats. Everyone wears hats.
Yeah, but there's more hats now than there were.
Europe had people unironically wearing berets.
Yeah.
Which I hadn't seen ever.
I think they were still wearing them ironically.
In Italy it was all like little fedoras too. A lot of like Norbayoro everywhere yelling at you.
Well, they're always hiding extra food in there. Bastards.
They're fucking very stingy with their food.
Are they?
When I went to Rome, I expected to be fed. From the moment I got off the plane, I was like ready to go.
Well, let's finish the time travelers. We'll talk
so
about
mad
it. I know, we don't want to get you riled here.
Now, besides the hats, there were quite a few other differences in our timeline and the predictions that John Titter made, but it could be said that Titter's revealing of these events prevented them from happening in our timeline. Titter said that a second civil war would erupt in the United States in the year 2008, precipitated by civil unrest surrounding the election of 2004. Titter said there's going to be a Waco every month in those 4 years.
That was 8 years ago?
Kind of right.
Yeah.
Not bad, actually. He predicted that right, and yeah, everyone is wearing hats.
Yeah, there are a lot of people wearing hats, and there is...
We just had Tropical Storm, or the Hurricane Matthew, which is going to wipe out most of the houses in Tampa.
Yeah.
Everyone has to live in a treehouse. That's the only other option.
Yeah. I think people just want to live in treehouses because they keep watching Most Extreme Homes on the fucking Home and Garden Network.
I do like that show.
Yeah, absolutely. And because of all of that stuff, the U.S. split into 5 different regions, which led to World War III in 2015, a war that cost the lives of 3 billion people and wiped out, among other cities, Washington, D.C., and Jacksonville.
I don't remember any of that.
He has a tie to Florida here.
He does.
And he did say the only cities that he mentioned that were destroyed in World War III, he was like, Washington, D.C. was gone. Jacksonville was gone.
You would think the West Coast and the East Coast would really get it worse, just being so close to our enemies and whatnot.
Jacksonville is the hot spot of America.
So the Russians,
the greatest minds, the most advanced technologies.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of Camaros there.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, after Washington D.C. was destroyed, they moved the capital, Omaha.
Oh,
right in the middle.
By our nuclear silos, actually.
Yeah, I know a lot of senators are going to be really mad about not getting sushi.
Oh, my. No, you can get sushi in Omaha.
Yeah. Now, naturally, some people were skeptical about Titter's claims, but he said that it was not his goal to be believed.
Interesting.
Rather, seems like he just enjoyed lording his 2036 superiority over all of us in any way that he could. This is what he said about the people in the year 2000.
Perhaps I should let you all in on a little secret. No one likes you in the future. This time period is looked at as being full of lazy, self-centered, civically ignorant sheep. Perhaps you should be less concerned about me and more concerned about that.
I just feel like he looks like a Mario Batali who can't cook, and he's just wearing Crocs. He's constantly sweating even though he never moves.
Oh, this is a large man.
It's gotta be huge.
It's just, it's so funny because we didn't ask you for the time travel information. You showed up, screaming at your time travel, and then you get a little bit of criticism, and then you say that the future hates us?
Strange.
Now, not too long after Titter appeared, a company registered in Florida popped up called the John Titter Foundation, which started selling merchandise along with a book called John Titter, A Time Traveler's Tale. Jesus.
It's all like it was a giant scam?
No. It was just rewritten with him, and it's like co-written by him and the lead singer of Sugar Ray.
Mark McGrath.
Yes, Mark, I've been trying to think of that damn bastard's name for so long.
Now, the Titter Foundation was founded by a man named Larry Haber, who many say was behind the whole thing. But due to the slippery nature of Titter's claims concerning the alternate timelines, this can neither be confirmed nor denied. And Titter hasn't been heard from in years, but the official Time Travel Institute podcast called Out of Time claims that John Titter has recently resurfaced and, through his mother, posted, quote, something on a message board that was passed on to a, quote, important person, although the host refused to say what, where, or who.
I just looked up Larry Haber, and he looks like the body that Krang was in.
That sounds good. So what do you mean through his mother? He used his mom's computer, or she...
No. He dictated to his mother, and
she
mother
typed
posted
it out.
This is John Titter's mother posting on behalf of John Titter.
All right, so that's the episode on Time Travelers and Chrononauts.
Also very interesting that Larry Haber is an attorney. And you know who else was an attorney was Andy Bosciago.
Yeah.
And Bosciago said that he uses his skills as a lawyer to win over 2,000 arguments on the internet.
Isn't that phenomenal? What a good use of the hundreds of thousands of dollars you spent on law school.
Holy shit.
Wow. All right, go back to, so in Italy they don't have good food, huh?
No, I mean, Italy's got fantastic food, but Rome wants to keep their good food away from tourists. And apparently, I'm obviously American.
Very much so.
Yeah, you're like the worst part of us.
No, it wasn't. I was just like, where's the good food? I was like, manja, manja. I was literally just being like, I said it to the hotel clerk. I shouldn't have said it the way I said it. But I was just like, I want to be drinking wine. I want to be eating pasta as soon as humanly possible. Where do I got to go? And the goose went, there is a trattoria around the corner. I was like, no, don't put me into a tourist trap when I want a real one. And
that's exactly how you get put into a tourist
trap.
Yes,
that's what happens, yeah.
All right, well, what an episode.
Well, it's October. It's finally got here.
Oh, my God, I love it. Dwayne Reeds are scary.
Tween reads are always scary.
Yeah, Walgreens are terrifying too.
We are at the beginning of Satan season. It's going to be Halloween soon. This is our first installment. We're having listener posse, I believe, is next week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited for. Please send us your scary stories. We really want to make this one scary. I'm sick of people telling me that listener pastas are like burner episodes. I want it to be scary as fuck. If you got a scary story, tell us.
Anyway, so yes, submit your stories. Marcus, what is it? Cavecomedyradio@gmail.com.
Cavecomedyradio@gmail.com.
Yes, we're excited to read those. And this is our favorite month. This is the best month. At the end of this month, we'll be in Washington, D.C. So come and check us out live there. We're doing the Benson Ball, and we're doing one of our live shows, and then we're hosting something as well, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
And what is that? That's going to be the 29th, I think.
29th, yeah.
So that'll be very fun.
And our live stream on the left is going to be back up on Adult Swim soon. We're going to get those dates very, very soon. We're figuring that shit out. Also, if I can ask you guys to do anything, if you have cable, please watch Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell starting October 23rd at 11:30 on Adult Swim. It's on Cartoon Network. Please watch. I think our shit is the best shit we've made ever. This third season is going to be really, really great.
All right, so make sure to check that out. And, yeah, man, I mean, thank you guys so much for supporting the last stream on the left. Adult Swim is just absolutely in love with it.
Yeah, and we got a new live show announcement.
Uh-oh.
January 7th, 2017. Boston, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Hey, all right.
The Brighton Music Hall. This show is going to sell out. Every show that we've done has sold out so far. Portland is sold out, but we're adding a second Portland show. Seattle is about to sell out. So, guys, get your tickets as soon as you possibly can. Go to cavecomedyradio.com/live to find the find all of the links to all of our upcoming shows. And we've got more shows that we're going to be announcing here. We've got shows coming up pretty much every single month for the next 6 months.
Yes, and thank you guys so much for supporting all the shows here on Cave Comedy Radio. I mean, Marcus and I, we got Ape Against Top Hat. It's so fun when we see these live shows. People know all the shows.
Yeah.
You know, they're always asking for Jackie Zabrowski. Hopefully she can start coming out with us at some point. She says hello.
Say hello, and she absolutely, hello. And Holden McNeely.
Yep.
If you want to see him, you know, then he's around, you know.
Yeah, and go check out his new podcast, The Wizard and the Bruiser, with Jake Young.
It's very good.
Yeah, I make a couple of appearances on it here and there.
Oh, a little self-plug. Interesting. I wonder where he mentioned it.
But yeah, go check out the fucking Lucky Bone Show, too. Mixcloud.com/Marcus Parks. I just put out a new episode yesterday,
Your
and it's wonderful.
Your pretty face is going to hell.
A little bit of a plug. Fox News!
Yeah. There we go.
All right, yeah. Able Against Top Hat, Roundtable of Gentlemen, Lucky Bone Show, Wizard and the Bruiser. Not sure what it means.
No clue.
and read Holden's articles as well. He's finally starting to write, which is a skill that he has, and he's wonderful at it. And he writes about video games, which is the only thing he knows about.
Yes.
So that's pretty perfect.
Write
so
what you know. And he can't just write eating out your girlfriend all the time.
That's very true. All right, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Hail Gein.
Hail me. So sick.
You're sick?
I am sick. We're all sick.
Yeah, we're all sick. Yeah, we all.
Oh, that's what's happening with my nose.
Yeah.
Yeah, we picked up some real nasty shit over in England.
Ah, magustalations.
Well, let's get to our shout-outs for this week. Thank you very much for waiting patiently for them, but we're going to get through a bunch today.
Okay.
We got Ellis S. Gruffied.
I like her. She sounds like a cat.
Ryan Pink. Paul Simpson. Mark Hayward. Joshua R. Bishop. Elizabeth Marshall. Lenny Harris. Ramsey Blackstone. Dina Garish. And Hanuman Welch.
All right. I got a bunch of people on this list. One is named Stig Grieve.
Ooh.
That's kind of a
I
great
like Stig.
Name. Stig. Yeah, don't mess with Stig.
Stig is like their version of Steve, though, so it's only badass here.
Oh, I see. Grammy Touchdown! Jeff and Casey. Anna Hornsby. Sofa Villanova. Aaron Coughlin, who we know very well.
Aaron!
Hey!
Indeed. Sarah Bartell. Lucas Lorenzo. Patrick Keegan. Justin Yanichiko.
Yanichiko.
Angelo Caperton, Simone, Will, Nicole Peck, Charles Kellums, Chris Zerfass.
We know Nicole Peck.
All right. Hello, Nicole. I like your last name. Chris Zerfass, Sarah Damaratsky.
Polish. Nice.
Nomo omagatu.
Nomagatu.
Damaratsky. I know how to say that because I'm from Wisconsin.
Hey.
It rolls right off the tongue. Toby Berryhill. Jessica Baldwin. Amanda Krieger. Hello, Amanda.
Yes, hey, we know Amanda. Amanda's incredible, and we know Jessica Baldwin. She's also wonderful.
I love you, Jessica. Ashley Becerra. Jeffrey Hendenson. Monica Martinson. Samantha Stevens. Daniel Hopper. Christy Walls. Tom Fagor Jr. Well, I love Tom Fagor, too. Tommy Naylor. I think we did Tommy Naylor.
Tommy Naylor.
We might be doing the same list again, but if you're getting a shout-out twice, it's your lucky day. Alex K., Beth Tierney, Daniel Christensen, Jimmy Jimenez, Valerie Kremser, Joseph H.
I know Valerie Kremser as well. Yeah. Did we do these lists already?
We might have done them, but it might be a double shout-out. Either way, you get it.
Marge. Corey Newman, Stephen Paul Anderson, Haley Jane, Vanine, Sam Belfuel,
all right,
Greg Carson, Brian Boehm, Devin Rurig, Alyssa, Caitlin Duffy, Quinn McDonald, Stephen Rivers, Annette Petrie, GX Barnett, Christopher T. Boyd, Whitney Bingham, Alexandra Schneider, Ashley Ford, Omar Sanjuan, Evan Crossland, Gustavo Montes de Oca, and Elsa Ashelford.
All right, I got Sean Ingledew. That'll do. Kind of
fun.
That is kind of funny. Andrew McGrory, J.J. Roy, Jason Hannon, Hannah Bird, Michael Thorne, Kate Everett, Ashley Mangula, Tom Gall, Rob, Ryan O'Connell, and Sarah.
John Palmar Sigurdsson, Sacha Kisluk, Delfino Camacho, Rachel Doherty. I know her. We met her in Los Angeles.
Oh,
she seems very sweet. I didn't really get to talk to her because she was in the corner while everyone was screaming. But she seemed very nice.
Oh.
Don't hesitate to say hello the next time.
Well, you just scared her.
Don't you fucking hesitate to speak to me. Mobbin these teas. Amanda Baker, Brooke Martinez, Colton Young, Andrew Dill, Jamie Johnson, who we met in Atlanta. What's going on, bro? Hail Satan. Miranda Bertle, John Enos, Colin Malnori Silbernagel, Serbel Nagel, Aaron Pendleton, Maureen Richard, Ellis Greer, who we met in our first Washington, D.C. show. She's very nice. Hail Satan. You're small. Mark Griffiths, Whitney Lewis. Very attractive.
I'm sure all of our female fans are extremely attractive.
Ben Hooper, Mark Jones, Jens Petter Pedersen, Ed Healy, Reese Buford, Eliza Spear, Mallory Ballman, Dominic Kalick, Archie Harvey, Kim Kelly, Sarah Heron, Hail Satan, good to see you on here. Clayton Gogo, Hail Satan, it's good to see your face. Briston Dovage, Andrew, Holly, Alex, Jaimez.
Bert Havard, Matt Shepard, Calvin Lunt, Matt Thomas, Alex Alexis, Nicholas Sarah, Derek Weber, Beth Waldron, Deanne Schildroth, Ben Robertson, Ronald Brown, Matt Brown, Joe Modix, Abby
Tamershkirk,
Brett Reynolds, Nicole Suzette, Lacey Young, Caitlin Phelps, hey Caitlin, Tom Buckridge, Jessica King, Elena Rice, hey Elena,
hey
Maria Elisa Hegg, Arwen Huckabee.
Arwen Huckabee. I feel like I know her.
I feel like I know Arwen Huckabee as well. Kelly Robertson, Sam Parcher, Tim Foster, Mark Bawden, Shannon Allen Carlin, Jonathan Bennett, Eugene Litvinoff. Hey Eugene, local boy, out down from Sheepshead Bay. Kateri Popchef, Hunter King, Evan Bolden, and Thomas Muller.
All right, I got Christian Gutierrez. Thank you so much, Christian. Vanessa Bixby, Megan Peterson, Peter Olson, Devin O'Neill, Matthew Chisholm, Dantos Noye, Mark Aaron Dungy, Alonzo Herrera, Megan Paul, Mitch Jensen, Melissa Frackoff, and Ken Bone. Fuck!
Hannah Brewer,
Leah Stoner, who we know.
And Leah, yeah, of course.
Timur Hussein, who I just met in the UK, who's great. He's a reporter, and he's smart, and he's attractive.
Well, good.
Jason. Katie Coleman. Will Lack. Aram Creighton at gmail.com. Sean Derman. Alice Wallace. Diana Sacon. Dr. Bustos.
Uh-oh.
Danny.
Hey, Danny.
Danny.
Well, that's it.
And that's it for this week's Last Podcast on the Left Patreon shoutouts. Thank y'all so much for giving to our Patreon.
Thank you.
You guys have helped us out more than you could possibly know. Every single person, even if you just give a dollar, really helps us out. You can go to patreon.com/lastpodcastontheleft to get your very own shoutout. And sometimes you get them twice due to a clerical error.
Hey, not bad.
Not bad. But you know what? Now that we know your true names, we can possess you using magic and make you do what we want you to do.
Yeah, or we can do a tulpa of you and make other people do, you know, think that you've done things that you haven't done.
Well, we would never do that to you, so don't worry about it.
Hail Satan.
Hail game.
Hail yourselves.
Hail me, you fucking cocksuckers.
Don't
kill a boy.
Don't do that.
Never kill a boy.